Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti, and I'm here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back with you.
Oh, good to have you here, Steve. I would hate to do the show without you.
Ditto.
Anyway, we are here on Sunday night again and looking through God's Word and thinking about some things. And if you were with us last week, we started going through Galatians. We were going through Galatians chapter 2 and 3, and we had started a couple of weeks, or actually 3 weeks, 2 weeks before that, because then we did an election program too, but let's not talk about the election yet. But anyway, we had talked about how the gospel's been hijacked in our time, and how St. Paul, when he wrote the letter to the Galatians, tells them how surprised he is that as soon as he left town, there was somebody there already changing the gospel, and that these people had come in and had taken people kind of down a different track and away from what he had preached, and he couldn't believe how soon it had happened.
Yeah.
And he just was blown away by that.
Yeah. He uses a very interesting phrase when he addresses them in chapter 3.
Yeah.
Which could apply today. Oh, stupid Galatians.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Who has bewitched you?
Who has fooled you?
Yeah. And, you know, we had a series where we kind of went through how God brings judgment through prophets and then through Jesus. And then we got to where we are today and how the gospel's been changed. And the gospel, as I like to say, has been hijacked into a be nice to everybody and try to do the best you can gospel.
Yeah.
And that many Christian churches have now come to a place where the gospel is about making everybody feel good and having a nice time while you're at church and being accepting of everything and not having anybody feel bad. And
yeah. You bring up a good point. I've been thinking about this recently, and I think we've come to a place of a cultural epidemic of wanting just to feel good.
Yeah.
And let's just have a party and just forget about all this other stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you get it with prosperity gospels.
Yeah.
We have it in our governmental systems, and it's really a cultural, I don't want to say a movement, but it's a mindset.
Yes.
That has crept into our beliefs as not only believers, but those who don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge is how do we get people back to the truth of God?
Exactly.
Because once you get so far away from what we know as the truth, because God revealed the truth to us through his son, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get people back to the truth?
Yeah.
You know, it's what convinces them.
Yes.
You know, is it words? Is it the word of God that's going to convince them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, many times when I talk to people, they, you know, somebody will say, well, you know, don't, you know, if you're going to start preaching this stuff, I'm not going to listen to you. Well, the reality is you're not listening to me anyway.
That's
so
right.
So they kind of throw up this smoke screen, you know, like this red herring, like, well, if you talk to me about that, I'm not going to believe at all.
Uh-huh.
And the reality is they already don't believe.
So that's a good point.
You know, so it's the mission field is very, like, it seems to be a very contentious place right
now.
And
interestingly enough, the mission field is here.
Yes.
The mission field is in all the countries that used to be Christian not too long ago.
Yeah.
All the great churches of Europe and the United States, Canada, that sent missionaries all over the world to preach the gospel, and they went to all these places, and everybody was worried about, you know, what was going on in Africa and what was going on in China. And now, like I always say to people, now you need to send the missionary down to the corner and have them start preaching because the mission field is here.
And it's precisely what happens when, you know, when you're hoping to help someone else out.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't keep track of things at home or take care of things at home,
yes,
your own home gets out of order.
Yes.
And that's exactly what's happened to us.
Yeah.
I mean, our house is out of order.
Yeah. And, you know, Paul writes back to these Galatians, you know, these dopey Galatians that were now going down some other road. And he says, wait a minute, you guys, I was just there. I told you what the gospel was.
Yeah.
And now you're already doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
And let alone, you know, those of us that are hundreds and thousands of years down the road, we have been listening. And I use we in the generic sense because Stephen and I haven't been listening to these people.
Well, but you and I make up two, so that's
we. That's right.
We've been listening to
them. We've been listening. But, you know, people are sitting in churches where they're getting very convincing arguments about, well, you know, Jesus would have accepted everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was nice to everyone.
Yeah.
And all these things. And you have to be nice. And you do have to be nice.
And there's no talk of him coming back as a just judge.
That's right.
None whatsoever.
That's right.
You know, when he sets his foot down on the mount and it splits in two, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are very surprised.
Yes, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And no one wants to consider that. You know, when I witness to people all day long and evangelize them, and when I say, well, there's judgment coming,
mm-hmm.
people literally freak out. No, wait a minute. No. And some people go, oh, that can't be because I'm not... You know, I have kids at home, or I'm not ready to quit my job, and I'm, and it's like, come on, it's not about you.
It's not about quitting your job.
That's right. The plan of God in the scriptures is not just based on you.
Yeah.
And then some people just think you're just a total kook and say, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Because no one, we're in a culture now where there is no responsibility for what you do. Mm-hmm. There's no accountability for what happens. There's no punishment. There's no, everything's just nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting time that we're living in.
Yeah. Very and yet, you know, we have the good news and, you know, things are getting darker and darker in the world. And I don't want to go into all that, but you don't have to really study what's going on in the world more than about a minute and a half before you realize things are getting dark in the world.
Yeah. It depends on where you're getting your information from too.
Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, as I was coming into the station today, I ran into my friend Pastor Al, who has a show on this station. I think it's Sundays at 12:30, but I might be wrong on that. But Pastor Al said to me, you know, we were just talking about this on the way out the door today about darkness. And he said, well, you know, when things get dark, the Christians will be the only light and people will see a light coming from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you light a match in the noonday sun, nobody can see it.
Right.
But if you light a match at midnight, somebody across the parking lot can see it.
And see it, exactly. And
I thought, wow, that was pretty cool.
That's a very good, that's a very good analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a show kind of along those lines next week, but we're going to go back to Galatians chapter 3 because where we left off last week, we left off at a very powerful passage and we were getting toward the end of the show, and Paul Wilbur was playing, and we hope to have him on the show pretty soon because he is going to be doing an amazing mission trip to Cuba the first week of December. And I had the privilege of being with him last weekend at a church and doing some ministry together, and I told him that when he gets back from Cuba, we definitely have to have him on this radio show to find out what's going on in Cuba.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, but we still will have a Christmas show. Don't worry. Santa's going to be... No, no, no Santa.
No, Santa Claus already came. Santa Claus came.
Yeah, Santa Claus already came.
He's going to be hanging around for a few more years.
Anyway, we have an amazing two verses of scripture here that I want Stephen to read. Because this is so cool. It's in Galatians chapter 3. You can open up your Bible. Verses 13 and 14. Because when you hear us talk about the plan of salvation, this is really what the plan of salvation is in a nutshell. And what all of the things that were talked about in the Torah, which are the five books of Moses, and the prophets, and everything in the Old Testament the Tanakh was pointing to. So, Stephen, why don't you read Galatians 3, 13 and 14?
Okay. Christ ransomed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed be everyone who hangs on a tree," that the blessings of Abraham might be extended to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Woo.
Wow.
Is that awesome or what?
That's awesome.
Yeah. And the law, you know, the Torah, the books of the law, the five books of Moses are all God's law to the people. It's the covenant of law. If you keep these laws, you will be righteous. If you don't keep these laws, there will be consequences. So Paul, who was more zealous for the law than anyone and was advancing in Judaism more than anyone, now is the apostle of grace, and he's the apostle to the Gentiles. And he says, Jesus redeems us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse. And because of his sacrifice, and you know, in the book of Deuteronomy, it said, "Cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree." So he quotes this again here, and he says, Jesus becomes the curse because he's hung on the tree, so that the blessings of Abraham can come on the Gentiles too, and we receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the covenant now is a covenant of faith. It's a covenant of grace. So rather than adherence to the 613 laws, it's now a matter of grace through faith, and this is the plan. And these two verses really summarize how this plan of salvation flows through the whole scripture. And this language he uses about the promise of the Spirit, you know, he talks about this in the book of Romans too, and we talked about that, I don't know how many months ago, about, you know, the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, comes into our spirit and tells us to cry out, Abba.
Mm-hmm.
So now we cry out, Daddy.
Right.
And as I always say, there's no daddy business in the Old Testament.
No.
There's no daddy business. So, you know, the Spirit tells us to cry out, Abba, Daddy, and tells us that we're adopted sons and daughters. So we go from being slaves to being adopted children. So that we become co-heirs with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's the true son. We're the adopted sons and daughters. So we're heirs to his glory. That's the promise that the Spirit tells us about.
Exactly.
And this is what's really summarized in those two verses.
Yeah, you know, what you're saying about the Spirit, about us crying out Abba and Daddy, you know, if you think back to just... you know, the prodigal son, the parable mm-hmm. of the prodigal son, how the young man took his inheritance, he got all this free stuff, mm-hmm. squandered it all, and he's out there with the pigs, and he's trying to, and he would love to eat just the pods that they're feeding on, but nobody's giving him anything.
Right.
And
nobody even brings him a sandwich.
No. And so he says... and it's very interesting. I was listening to someone talk about this, and they were like, did he actually come to conversion, or did he have a plan of just saying, I'm going to go back to my dad and at least get fed? Was he really, you know, was there actual repentance there? Mm. I will say, I'm going to go back to my father, and I'm going to say, you know, Father, I've sinned against heaven mm-hmm. and against earth and against you. And he had this whole speech planned.
Yeah.
What he was going to say to his father. But the father, before he says a word, embraces him.
Yeah.
So the father shows him total forgiveness, total mercy, without the son even saying a word.
That's right.
In spite of what was in the son's heart,
mm-hmm.
he came back, whether it was for his own purpose, mm-hmm. because he was starving, or because he was truly sorry,
mm-hmm.
the father gave total forgiveness and total acceptance back into his family.
And he puts a beautiful robe over his smelly clothes.
Yeah. And as you're saying, you know, we're adopted sons and daughters through the Spirit, through the blood of Messiah. And I know we've talked about this many times on the show, is that we are, I don't want to say, we receive the same riches of the kingdom that a natural born son would receive, or a natural born daughter.
Exactly. This is the good news.
Yeah.
This is the good news.
And I think it's so hard for people to, you know, just what does that mean to receive the riches and the blessings and the graces that God wants to give us? You know, like they, okay, well, usually everything's conditional.
Right.
Well, if you do this, we'll give you this. If you do this, well, in most cases, things are conditional.
Right.
But in that story, the father shows this unconditional love for his son. And then it's the other son who starts to have the issues.
Yeah, the party should be for me.
Exactly. I've been the good one all these years.
Yes, exactly.
Why are you letting that scoundrel back into the family?
These things are the good news. Because, you know, in that parable, the older son, you know, he's been doing the stuff, but he doesn't understand grace.
Exactly.
You know, if you're, you know, like a lot of, I heard a pastor once with a really cool teaching say it, most churches would send the older son to meet the prodigal.
Well, your brother's coming back. Don't meet him.
Yeah. But the good news is that now it's through faith, and the promise is through the Spirit. And the promise, like you say, is based on the blood of the Messiah. And God's not going to change his promise. You know, he's not going to change. He's not going to say, well, you know, the sacrifice of Jesus for the forgiveness of sin and salvation is going to be good until the year 2050. And then after that,
there's an expiration
midnight
date.
January 1st, you know, December 31st, then we go to plan B of salvation. He's not going to change his promises.
There's no expiration date on it.
Right.
Exactly.
And we can't change what he's promised.
Right.
As hard as we try, and as hard as people can divert the Galatians away, or whether it's your church that you're going to today, or whether it's the church you're going to next month, no one who's teaching there can change these promises. And these promises, you know, Paul points out that these promises were made before there was a law. These were given to Abraham before he was circumcised. This is 400 and some years before there's a law. So the promises to Abraham are before there was a law.
And what did Abraham do? All he did was he believed. Oh,
that's right. He believed, and it was counted as righteousness.
Yeah.
And he, you know, if the promise would have been, you know, if the inheritance came by doing law, then it couldn't be a promise, because then you'd have to earn your way in. And if the inheritance was some other method of coming into the kingdom, then you could figure out how to do it.
Right.
So the law doesn't do that. All the law does is show you that you're wrong and condemns you.
Yeah.
But doesn't make a way for you to go, other than you have to keep this law perfectly.
Yeah.
So these promises were given before there was a law. And if you could get in by the law, then the faith in the Messiah wouldn't be as important as it is. Yeah. And the sacrifice of Christ would be kind of a sidelight. Oh yeah, you know, that was good, because some people, you know, but so, you know, for some people that's important. But me, I can keep the law.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's good that he did that, but that doesn't apply to me, because I'm good. I'm over here doing the law thing. You know, kind of like the older son. I'm here doing the good things. You know, it kind of takes the power of that away.
Yeah.
To thinking that I'm earning my salvation, so, you know, the cross is for those poor people that just can't make it on their own.
That crutch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, when you're talking about that, it reminds me of, you know, the covenant with Abraham, and how it leads into Abraham trusting God.
Yes.
And Abraham was told that he was going to be a father of a great nation. And him and his wife, Sarah,
were as good as dead.
as good as dead, as you like to quote from the scriptures.
I mean, they were at the senior center already.
Exactly. And what did they do? They did something on their own ahead of God.
Yeah.
That probably, you know, you have to wonder, was that what God intended?
Yeah. Try to hurry the plan along.
Hurry the plan along. go have relations with the maidservant, and because I'm not going to give you a child, Abraham, as Sarah is saying, but she can.
Yeah, that's right.
And so he has a child, but he's not the one who the inheritance is going to go to.
He's not the child of promise.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, Ooh, this is a good sign.
Oh, Paul's back.
Here comes Paul Wilbur. This is giftofgraceministries.org. Check out the website, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Behind the veil of what is seen, the natural eye, a great event is being prepared. A war and a wedding feast will have their place in time. Soon and not yet is the word that the watchman gives as he strains his eyes through the darkness of the night mist. He can sense that just beyond the horizon, a great brightness is preparing to break forth. Arise, you sleepers! Shake off your slumber, he calls. Come and fill your lamp with fresh oil. Trim your wick. Cry out in the streets and do not let your voice be silent. For the coming of the great King is at hand. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Only wait for the Lord. Be strong and of a good courage. And wait for the Lord. A watchman on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will not be silent day or night of the Lord. They make constant mention. They will give no sleep to their eyes until God establishes grace. There will be no peace in the nights until the Lord makes Jerusalem a praise. He has sworn it by his strength. If you lift up your voices and call on the Lord, he will come. And the nations will see that salvation comes from Zion. The anointing of God has begun. Oh, blind eyes will see as the captives go free. If you lift up your voices, he'll streets tonight, something's already birthed. Tabernacle is rising right now in the hearts of those who believe. There's the sound of a freedom shout rising up from under your voices and call on the Lord, he will come. And the nations will see that salvation comes from Zion. Oh, no more waiting, the anointing of God has begun. Oh, blind eyes will see as the captive.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, the Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. So after Paul talks about this, he says, so what's the point of the law? Is the law worthless? He says, of course not. I mean, the law was given, you all know the story on Mount Sinai. Moses is there for 40 days. All these amazing signs and wonders with the Shekinah glory cloud and the lightning and the shofar blasts and the thundering voices, and all the people say, oh, we can't handle this. You know, just talk to Moses and then Moses will talk to us. This is too much for us. So the law is given with a lot of power, with a lot of signs. And then all through the Tanakh, you know, the people are urged to follow the law. You got to keep my law. You got to keep my covenant or there's going to be serious consequences. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that, you know, Paul's not implying that the law is not important.
Right.
The Israelites were very special people. They were his covenant people, but they were still sinners.
Exactly.
They were still sinners. They were just as much as sinners as we are. They were the chosen people,
yes.
But we had one thing in common with them is we're all sinners. And the law would convince them of their sin. You know, Paul talks about, in Romans, talks about how the law gives you knowledge of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you realize what's right and what's wrong.
Exactly.
And the law kind of guides you down a path where you try not to sin. It, you know, kind of curbs you from going, you know, more and more to your sin nature.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, we all have these kind of, you know, rebellious thoughts all the time. And
yeah.
There's lust and sin and like all these things that Jesus said comes out of the human heart, greed. And mm-hmm. the law kind of tempers that because it shows you that these things are wrong.
Right.
And it also shows you that when you have sinful behavior, there's going to be punishment associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, in the law, there were these provisions for the sacrifices, for blood atonement. And these were all pointing to what was going to happen when Messiah came.
Because
mm-hmm. he was the ultimate sacrifice.
Right.
He was the ultimate blood atonement. And that this is what was going to usher in, you know, the new covenant that we talk about all the time, the new and eternal covenant.
Well, right. And when you're talking, you know, when you're going over the covenants and talking about that covenant and that promise that is made, it's an oath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're swearing an oath. And it's not just a handshake and going, okay, we got a deal. It's a lot more than that because you're swearing an oath to uphold your end of the, I don't even want to say agreement, but because people are exchanged in covenants.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look back to the covenant with Abraham, God promised that he would make him a great nation,
mm-hmm.
and it was credited to him as righteousness because he believed. And then he was asked to sacrifice his, once he had Isaac, he was asked to sacrifice his son.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that, you know, Abraham tells his servants that me and the boy are going to go mm-hmm. and worship
mm-hmm.
and we're going to return. He doesn't say we're going to go and worship and I'm going to return.
Right.
He says we will return. And, you know, as Abraham or Isaac is looking around, he's like, well, here's the fire, you know, here's the wood and here's the, you know, the stones and for the altar.
Here's the knife.
Here's the knife. Where's the, you know, Abraham says God himself will provide
mm-hmm.
the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, then God stops him mm-hmm. and says, now I know that you love me.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I know that you love me more than anything, because you're willing to give up your only son.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get to, you know, the Passover is the atonement. Really, you know, the Israelites were, their doorposts were covered in the blood of the lamb. They were told to eat the Passover meal a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were under the blood, they were safe.
Right.
And that's, mm-hmm. that's the, you know, that is so important for mm-hmm. us to understand it.
By a lamb that was provided.
By a lamb that was provided that had nothing to do with their sin.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, that's what God asked for.
Mm-hmm.
And so too are we under the blood of Messiah from facing the punishment that we rightly deserve?
You know? Exactly. The punishment that's due by the law.
That's due by the law.
And this is, again, this is why the gospel is good news.
Good news, yeah. And, you know, when it says, you know, Jesus nailed the nailed the law to the cross. Mm-hmm. He took on the curse of the law to the cross.
That's right.
You know,
the punishment that was due.
You know, but what you're saying is true, is that Abraham didn't do anything. There was no law before Abraham believed God.
That's right.
And God said, is what I'm going to do.
The law was for about 400 years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And a little over 400. But, you know, interestingly, too, when we go to the New Covenant in the book of Hebrews, you know, it talks about how the old covenant's replaced by the new.
Mm-hmm.
It's replaced by a new and better covenant. Well, if the covenant of law was perfect, it wouldn't have had to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
If the Levitical priest doing all the things of the law could have gotten everybody saved, there wouldn't have had to been another law.
Right.
But the new covenant, it says in Hebrew, replaces the old covenant because this is a perfect covenant now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not going to be another covenant after this because the old covenant shows people that they're sinners, shows people that they can't keep this covenant, and points them to the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
So when you understand this, and like we said I don't know how many shows ago, of all the people, Paul says, of all the people, the Jews should have gotten this.
Yeah.
They had all the stuff,
and
they didn't understand it.
You know, and Jesus says, you know, if you think I've come to abolish the law, basically think again, I've come to fulfill it.
Yes.
And, you know, in the sacrifice that he makes on Calvary, that law is fulfilled.
Exactly.
Because mercy triumphs over judgment.
Exactly.
Or justice, I should say. And, you know, as you're saying, this is the good news of the gospel. The covenant isn't done away with. The covenant is fulfilled. And Jesus himself says, you know, this is a new and everlasting covenant. This is a covenant of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant, my body that's going to be given for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he says this all to his disciples at that Seder, you know, what we call the Last Supper. So as Paul's preaching, you know, to the Galatians, he's giving them this deposit of faith, this deposit of truth. And, you know, it reminds me of when the Israelites were in the desert at Sinai, and Moses goes up to the mountain, and what do? They build a calf. It didn't take long.
It didn't take long. Said Moses, who? He'd been gone a long time.
Been gone a couple of days. We're out here. We're gonna starve and die. So it's, you know, I think it's an inherent problem that we as humans have. That's obviously that sin nature that we've inherited from Adam and Eve, that we rebel against God.
Yeah. Exactly. You know,
we'll just go off and do something, and even though there's this covenant, which means I swear an oath to you, Lord, I'm going to keep this covenant.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really keep it. But God keeps it.
Yeah.
Because God is forever faithful.
Yeah.
You know, and the scripture tells us, well, even if we don't acknowledge him, he's not going to acknowledge us. He'll deny us.
Yeah.
If we break his covenant, or if we break, you know, the promise, God can't break the promise because he can't deny himself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Paul points out in Galatians that this is for everyone. It's not just for the Jew.
Mm-hmm.
God is the God of Jew and Gentile.
Right.
And so now he's made a way through this amazing plan of salvation that through faith, Gentiles can be saved. Gentiles can be brought under the promises made to Abraham, and that Abraham then has even Gentiles as his spiritual children.
Mm-hmm.
So we are children of Abraham, not biologically, not by our DNA, but because of faith in the Messiah, who was a direct descendant of Abraham, we're spiritual children of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says, this is what's exciting, because faith in Jesus is given, you know, those who believe are saved by that faith. And right. So the law, you know, the law couldn't do that. There was no way that the law could do that. And the law was a precursor to these things. And even though it was important, and even though it showed the holiness of God, it pointed to what Messiah was going to do, because he's the God of the Jews and the Gentiles. And he's the unchanging party. We're, you know, we change. You know, people in our time say, hey, you know what? You Christians better get with it. You know, it's not, you know, 100 AD anymore.
Yeah.
It's 2012. You guys better get with it.
Come on, times and, are, you know, times you guys, are modernized here.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's no way you guys are going to win any elections, because after all, you're thinking like 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You guys better get with it. And the law shows these people the need for a savior. Otherwise, the law could have been the plan. You know, God could have said, well, here's the law. If you don't keep it, you're damned. If you keep it, you're saved.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Exactly.
So there would be, like, nobody in heaven now if that was the case. And, you know, it's he's going to say toward the end of that chapter that the law is the schoolmaster that drives us to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a tutor, some people call it a taskmaster. It drives you to the cross because you say, oh, I can't deal with this anymore. And you realize that you stand condemned and that you have no hope of really redeeming yourself on your own, and you go to the cross.
You know, what you're talking about, I'm looking at Isaiah chapter 40 and in verse 21. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not know? Have you not heard? Was it not foretold you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits mm-hmm. enthroned above the vault of heaven mm-hmm. and its inhabitants all like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a veil, spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to say, this is in verse 28, do you not know, or have you not heard, the Lord is the eternal God, creator of the earth, of the ends of the earth. He does not faint nor grow weary, and his knowledge is beyond scrutiny. He gives strength to the fainting. For the weak he makes vigor abound. Though young men faint and grow weary, and youth stagger and fall, they that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar as with eagle's wings. Mm. They will run and not grow weary, and walk and not grow faint.
Mm.
You know, so he's an everlasting God, but he also gives us strength when we're weak.
Yeah.
If we call upon him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, I think last week we were talking about, you know, we need to keep on praying for our nation
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work to do in proclaiming the gospel and spreading the kingdom and bringing a harvest of souls into heaven that we've been entrusted to.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a serious mandate.
That's right. And we are, you
that's
know,
the only mandate that's really
exactly right.
Everybody needs to know about.
Exactly right. And we are, you know, we may get to the point soon. Some say we're already at the point where we have a remnant
mm-hmm.
of faithful believers, and God uses remnants in everything. And mm-hmm. we've talked about that many times. And whether there's 50 of us or 50,000 of us or 50 million of us or however many there are, because we don't know, we're going to be used to do his work while we're still here.
Exactly.
And while the world is still here, and things may get darker, things may start to really change. And especially in our country where we've not experienced persecution, we've not experienced restrictions,
mm-hmm.
we've not experienced going to a church on a Sunday morning and find a sign on it that says, you know, closed by order of, you know, whoever, but
the emperor.
Yeah. I mean, we know that that happens in other places.
Mm-hmm.
We've not experienced that here,
right.
But we might. And then how many will fall away when that happens? How many will say, well, you know, what can you do? The government closed the church. Well, what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to obey the law.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of, you know, where are you going to stand?
Exactly.
And if you got to stand on exactly. this rock of truth mm-hmm. that you know is the truth.
Right.
Well, I hear Paul Ober again.
He plays a nice violin.
Oh, man. Yeah.
No, he does.
Wow. But we'll be back in a minute. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. And let's listen to Paul Wilbert.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone. This is the last segment of The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. The time goes so fast that, man, yeah. These Galatians would have their heads spinning when they saw how fast time goes.
Their sundials would have been spinning like out of control.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of neat that, you know, Paul talks about this idea of a schoolmaster. You know, this goes, the Greek there means somebody who teaches your children and guides your children.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that rich people in ancient Greece, you know, and even in Rome, they had educated slaves who taught their kids when they were little, and they were, mm-hmm. they were two, you know, we'd call tutors. And when they were older, they would guide the kids to a school, and they would even like watch over kids as, you know, what they were doing. They were in charge of taking care of these kids. And, you know, in that way, the law teaches us our conduct and our moral behavior, and also shows what our failings are.
Mm-hmm.
Like a school teacher says, well, you did good on this, but you did really bad on this, and you did really good on this, and you did kind of so-so on this. He says the law is like that. It shows you where you are, but then also it takes you to the cross, just like these guys used to take the kids to schools when they were older.
Right.
And it shows us the need for a redeemer.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the difference between God's law, which is absolute,
mm-hmm.
and man's law, which is relative.
Right.
And there's a huge difference between an absolute law that when God speaks his word, he creates something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when man creates a law, what is it based on? Is it based on his own thought? Is it not based on his own agenda? You know, that's
getting reelected.
Well, yeah. You know, it is a question that's worth considering, because, you know, in Isaiah 55, God says this. This is Isaiah 55, chapter 55, verse 8. I think it's through 13. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, mm-hmm. nor your ways my ways, says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Yet, just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there, till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall do what pleases me, achieving the end for which I sent it.
Mm.
You know, and I think, you know, that really says everything, that
yeah.
God's word is eternal.
Yes.
It's never going to pass away.
Yeah. And his plan is in place.
And his plan's in place. And even in, you know, as you said, even in a tough time, if darkness encroaches us,
mm-hmm.
we still have to hold that light of Christ
absolutely.
Up. And if we've, you know, and I'm speaking for myself as well, we get comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And are we really ready to go out and proclaim the gospel in a hostile environment?
Yeah.
In an unfriendly environment? You know, it's easy to proclaim the gospel amongst your friends.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you go to a prayer group or a church. It's great.
Yeah. Hey, you know.
Yeah, but it might not be so easy when you're at work or you're
right.
at the grocery store or you're in a crowd that's gathered for some other reason mm-hmm. that's going to do something terrible. And you say, well, wait a minute. Let me tell you about this. And everybody says, get out of here. You're crazy. You know, it's you know, it's not about us, but as humans, we worry about what people think of us.
Yes.
And, you know, Paul says in Romans 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because mm-hmm. it's the power of God unto salvation. And we know that, and we have to proclaim that gospel, because when times are dark like they are now, it's more important than ever to do this.
Yeah.
So we don't know how much time we have.
Right.
Jesus could come back tomorrow. Could come back 50 years from now, could come mm-hmm. back next week. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and it's important that we go out and proclaim the kingdom and spread the light of Christ, because we don't want to end up like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, exactly. And we, you know, I mean, I think Paul's a great example for us, because he just preached it. You know, he didn't care what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care if they whipped him, stoned him, put him in prison, you know, preached all night. Guy dies, he goes over, prays over him, goes back to preaching. I mean, it's, you know, if he had a radio show, he'd have been on the air all the time.
Exactly.
And if he had a website, man, it would have been all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, he makes this really good point here that when you have faith, when you've come to the cross and you have faith, you don't need a tutor anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're there.
Exactly.
The whole point of the law, like you said before, has been fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're at the cross and you have faith and you've come to this, you don't say, well, this is really good, but now I got to go back and think about this offering back here with the lamb. And mm-hmm. I got to think about, you know, if I can eat this or can't yeah. eat that. Because then you're going backwards the other way.
Yeah.
And that's not right. And he points out at the end of that chapter, you know, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's not male or female. We're all one if you're with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if he says, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I say, we don't have Abraham's DNA, but we're his spiritual children.
Exactly.
And Paul says, this is the good news. This is the one new man. This is exactly. the whole plan of salvation. Exactly. This is the kingdom of Messiah
mm-hmm.
in its fullness.
Right.
And this is what we have to proclaim out in the darkness where the government and people and the secular people are trying to build a perfect society of man.
Yeah.
And it's never going to work because society built on man is not going to work.
They're trying to build there was a town in Poland called Nowy Hut.
Yes.
It was, uh-huh. it was a city without God.
Yes.
And
didn't last long.
And if anybody's not familiar with the story, it was when Karol Wojtyła was the archbishop there in mm-hmm. before he was elected to papacy, and they would go out and they would erect a cross, and the government would come back and tear the cross down. They'd go back out and erect another cross. Government would come out and tear it back down, and they persevered in this.
Yeah,
and it was eventually a city with God.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, we'll talk about that some other time. Yeah. That'd be worth doing a show on.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the end of our show today. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day and hope you'll be back with us next week.
And we ask you to continue to pray for all those in your family and in our nation that God may heal our land. God bless everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.